Good morning, everyone. It's great to be a dad. I am one. And it's really a privilege to have that honor to be considered a father. We are here today to look at God's Word and to discover how God can help us through times of turmoil in our life. And some of us here in this room have experienced that. If you haven't, you will someday, I'm sure. But we know that God will see us through, and that's what we want to truly celebrate. We are here to look to Jesus this morning. A truly wise person tries to find life from God's point of view. And it's important for us to keep in mind that God does have a point of view for us. I have my point of view, you have yours. But he has a point of view, and we need to understand that point of view more often than what we usually do. A few weeks ago, our family went to Gatlinburg area, Pigeon Forge. We went to Dollywood. We also endeavored to go to the mountains and see what's going on up there in that beautiful area that God's created. I have two little grandsons. They're twins, Garrett and Gavin. And they were with us, and so I said to both of them, I said, we're going to go to the mountains. And so they caught on to that, and they didn't let go of it. And all they could say, we go to the mountains, we go to the mountains. The psalmist David said to us, you know, where does my help come from? And he talks about going to the mountains to get a perspective. And this morning I think it's important for us, I know for me, to be reminded of God's perspective in our life. So we need to go to the mountains and understand what he has in mind. Let's take our Bibles this morning, open our hearts to God's Word, and if you have your device, that is a good thing to use as well. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews today, and we want to look at this passage of Scripture, the 13th chapter of Hebrews, and I'd like for us just to read a few verses there, starting with verse 6. It says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." You know, there's some good thoughts here. There's a question. There's a statement. I'd like for us to look at that statement first of all. A statement that's very clear, brings attention to the fact that, yes, the Lord is our helper. What should be afraid of? But here it is, what can man do to me? Now I know many of us are faced with people around our lives, in our lives, that have done some things to us that are harmful. Some have done some things that are very appreciative and good. I have these two little grandsons. It's okay if I talk about them this morning, isn't it? All right, I'm gonna do it anyway, so just hold on. I just was thinking for a moment about these little grandsons. We have them come over to our house often. They like where we live. They like our setting. It's free food for everybody, the family and all, and my wife enjoys offering that. But these guys are like little whirling tornadoes. They come into the house. They've broken clocks. They broke this Christmas ornament. Of course, that was part of my problem because I was letting them play with it. They've broken glasses and furniture, seriously, stains on the couch, dents in the walls. They love buttons. They love all kinds of things like your cell phone, your iPhone, your iPad, and they just call China when they're not supposed to and all kinds of things. I believe that they were born, you know, text messaging. That's just the way it is. But, you know, they're in the building today. They attend Fairhaven. But they're contained, praise God. So, that's a good thing. But just imagine for a moment if we let the 0 to 5-year-olds, let them loose. And they just came into our setting and they got into the sound booth, the lighting system. We'd have some type of worship we'd never forget. Isn't that right? But just what can man do to me? These little guys can do a lot. They're going to destroy the world in 20 minutes if we let them. But you know what? They also bring great joy. They make me laugh. They give me an enjoyment I can't describe at times. Now, there's another statement here. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that good news? He's the same every day. I know all of us are in this aging process. Remember years ago, I'm probably dating myself a little bit here. These glamour shots were a big hit for women. I remember women just coming to church with their photo, their husbands looking at that photo and being so thankful for how beautiful they were. They get all decked out. They pay a good price for it. They're standing in line for their glamour shot. But when you go to bed at night and you get up in the morning, the aging process still continues, doesn't it? For a brief time, you look good. But the reality is we're getting old. And we must understand that as we get old, as we go through those phases of life, the Bible says to us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's good news in every aspect of our life. God's character, His attributes of love and kindness and holiness and gentleness and goodness to us and justice, His comfort, remains the same. And that's what I want to hold on to. That's what I want to celebrate. Well, I'm in the process of learning to be more like Jesus, learning more from Him. I want to be reassured of the fact that Jesus is true to His word. I'm going to share some things with you this morning. Not easy to do, but I just want to share some things, some turmoil that I went through, my wife and I went through in our life. Janice and I have been part of Fairhaven Church for 3 years as of this month. I've been serving here on pastoral staff to begin with small groups, mid-sized groups, and that was for a little over a year. Then June 1st, they said, well, let's move you into pastoral care, and now that's where I'm serving. But prior to coming to Fairhaven, I served as a lead pastor for many years. In about a 4-year span of time prior to coming to Fairhaven, Janice and I faced some very difficult circumstances in 3 specific areas of our life: our church ministry, our personal lives, and our family. In our church ministry, in my last pastoral church assignment before coming to Fairhaven, we were blessed to experience some very encouraging and uplifting atmospheres in the church. We planted a new church. The church had really an outreach to missions worldwide in the community. We had uplifting worship. Our finances were strong. We had a very supportive laity staff. And I deeply love the people of this church. And we experienced life together, as most pastors do, by going through the joys and the difficult times that people experience. Unfortunately, towards the last 4 years of that ministry, we hit on some very difficult times. And eventually what happened during that time, 5 of my staff members that were full-time left in a 3-month period of time. This transition caused and created really an unhealthy atmosphere. And some of the laity earnestly prayed, and we worked to resolve the conflict and obtain a solid base again. And secured new staff. During that time, Janice, in her devotional time with the Lord, came across a passage of Scripture that I'm going to share with you, and it relates to what we were going through. And she just said, Dave, here's a verse I really think we need to hold true. And it reads, no weapon turned against you will succeed, and everyone who tells lies in court will be brought to justice. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. Isaiah 54:17. And we put that on our bathroom mirror. Well, I love the Lord. I love the church. I wanted nothing more than seeing people's lives changed, transformed, forgiven from their sins. And that is what I continued to do. Even though some positive accomplishments were made, there were continuing conflicting issues that continued on. I was diligent in prayer, tenacious in my efforts, but it just seemed impossible to please some people who were contentious. And eventually my tenure as lead pastor came to a close, and I resigned in February of 2012. There I was with no church to pastor, in other words, jobless, feelings of rejection, hurt, despair like I've never experienced before, and I found myself burned out with church ministry. This not only affected my life, but affected my family as well. Here I was, 40 years of ministry. This is all I've done, all I've ever known to do. This was God's call on my life. I was certain of that. I never have had this happen before until now. And so for the first time in my life, I found myself becoming disillusioned with the church ministry. I began to feel really like, this is really not the great place people say it is. And I also began to think, well, some people aren't as genuine and authentic as they really are. They think they are. And even though I knew there were some wonderful people who loved God and were genuine, there were others who just revealed a different color, a different tone. In our personal life, the year before this change of church ministry took place, my wife Janice was diagnosed with breast cancer, which added to the stress we already were experiencing. Now, we know this dreaded disease, but now it was in my wife's body, and I felt this was unfair. Janice is a great wife, a great mom, and a follower of Jesus, loves people, serves others with a genuine spirit, and I'll add one more thing, she's a good cook, too. Working through those feelings of fear and uncertainty was a spiritual journey for both of us. And so we met with doctors and surgeons, and a decision was made for surgery, treatments, and for prolonged medications. And we are grateful for friends and family who prayed with us. Presently, I'm so thankful that God has touched Janice with a very good report. Our family life, the third thing, God had blessed us with two beautiful and wonderful daughters, Lucinda, who attends Fairhaven, and she was singing here to my right with us in worship this morning, and her husband, Rob, and to those twin boys, Gavin and Garrett. And then we have Janelle, our youngest daughter, who lives and works in Cincinnati. As parents, we sometimes find it difficult to put in words how we really love our children. And whether our children are very young or old, we know that we're still their parents. And divorce appears as an intruder to families, and as we were emotionally immersed in this situation with our youngest daughters, we traveled a very difficult path with her. Her dreams and plans once made for marriage dissolved. And with all of the other hurtful experiences and disappointments, this burdened our hearts more and brought us before God in earnest prayer. I guess no one completely understands. I don't understand your struggles, your disappointments, but I guarantee this morning there are some people here who are hurting, discouraged, and probably thinking, does God really have my life in mind? I came to that point. But I really found some things that are more important than just looking at those situations. The encouraging part is this, that our God remains the same whatever occurs in our life. He remains the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I also found this out. It's more important, not what's happening to you, but what's happening in you. And so I want to share with you this, that our God remains the same in His plan, no matter what happens. You know, let's ask ourselves, what's life like? What's it like? Well, I know this, life just seems to deteriorate at times. We're healthy, then we get unhealthy. Our house that may be new, remodeled, eventually deteriorates. Where we once had a nice new car, it becomes a little smelly and rusted. It just goes that way in life, doesn't it? We wish it didn't, but it just happens that way. I remember being on a summer break when I was in college with a group of guys. We stayed in this townhouse with our buddies, and we worked. We worked hard, but we played golf and played tennis, but we didn't clean house. And the inside of the refrigerator began growing something on its own. I pulled out some eggs one day to scramble and broke them open and encountered the worst smell you've ever come across. That's just the way life is. Another way life is, I bought a fish tank for my two twin boys at Christmas, this last Christmas. The other grandpa, he bought them these John Deere tractors, you know. I bought them a fish tank, four fish. Three are making it, one's already gone. But you know, you got to clean this fish tank, and that didn't come with the Christmas package. So it ends up, my wife goes over there and cleans the tank, bless her heart. But you know, that fish tank where it once was bright and it was colorful, had some little lights on the bottom, you know, it just got all green and ugly. Life is like that. You know, when we look at Jeremiah 29, which I want you to turn with me for a few moments, we're going to look at a number of scriptures and briefly just review them. We find that these people were in exile. You know, oftentimes we just say, well, I cannot wait until we get a better job or a better situation or a better home or a better, financial package in my job. We just can go on and on. I want us to notice here, God is speaking to the hearts of some people he loved greatly. And he's saying to them, I want you to deal with the situation where you are. That's how God was speaking to me and what I was going through. I want us to look there in Jeremiah 29, and I want to look at a few things here. The first thing is this: until then, God's perspective, get God's perspective on your situation. Look at verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Who put these people in Babylon? You know who did? God. Well, get mad at God. Get upset at God. But God was working with them, and yes, they had rebelled, but God is sovereign. And it's so important to get a perspective from God in our situation. You know, perspective is always important. A right perspective can ease our pain. You know, I know a lot of us just say, well, you know, I know better. I'm looking at the situation this way. God's trying to say, I want you to look at it my way. The second thing is get productive where you are. In verses 5 through 7, God was saying to them, build some houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry, have sons and daughters, increase the number. I just feel like God is wanting for us in our turmoil, in our situations, to realize we can still be productive, we can still be in a moving forward pattern, even though we are in exile. The third thing is, do not listen to faithless people. It's important to bring yourself in places like Fairhaven, a place where there are some people with faith and confidence. And I'll share that with you in a moment, how that encouraged me. But don't hang around people who are faithless. Get in with people who have a faith in God. The fourth thing is, listen to God's voice. Now, for some of you who have been in church for some time, and maybe some of you, this is new to you, but this is a verse many people quote, and I'd like to read it more in its entirety. And so we look there at verse 10 of Jeremiah 29, and we read these words. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Here's the good part. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know, there's some things here for us to learn and understand that God is more concerned about our obedience rather than our comfort. God's ultimate goal for my life, your life, is that we determine to say, God, I want to obey. Another thing is, listen to God because he knows your situation better than you do or someone else. You know, the providential hand of God, the providence of God, that word pro, before, video means to see. It means to see before. And God's all about that, seeing before. So here we were in this situation, and we, during that time of going through some turmoil, we felt God leading us to sell our house. And we lived in Kettering, a good-sized home, and we downsized. And God opened up an opportunity for someone to buy it in 2 months when the housing market about 4 years ago was not that good. So we got rid of all kinds of stuff. That's a good thing to do sometimes. And then we bought this home just a couple of blocks from Fairhaven Church. We just felt God leading us. We didn't know where we were going to be going in our life. We were just so uncertain with all the things going on with our church ministry. And we found this home, a fixer-upper. Some of you know what those are about. And here we were in this particular setting, not really certain as to where God was leading. We started attending Fairhaven. I remember the first Sunday I was here, I felt the presence of God in a mighty way. It was encouraging. The messages that David preached stirred my heart, warmed my heart, helped me to heal, helped my family to heal. And as we continued on in this journey, we began to get plugged in with some other individuals here at church. I started a small group, and our group is together today. I love those people in our small group, and most of them are new to Fairhaven. I attended a Tuesday morning Bible study, And the group of guys there, as we prayed together and studied God's word, it was encouraging and healing for me. My wife got involved in some of the women's ministries here. I taught a couple of classes, worked with some of the new people in their faith. So during that time, that gap in my life, that exile in my life, God was working in my life. And then we had an opportunity to go serve on a Sunday, and I was preaching for 6 months at a church up north of Dayton. But Janice and I felt we're going to stay connected to Fairhaven. So we came to the Saturday night services. And so we got a lot of church on one weekend. I guess we needed it or something. And God began to stir our hearts and warm our hearts and bring healing to us. And I never really understood all of God's plan. And I'll be honest, I still don't. I just don't understand it all. But I know this, His plan is a whole lot better than mine or yours. I read something in a devotional book. I was searching for things. And on June 18th, I read these words, "You are my beloved child. I chose you before the foundation of the world to walk with me along paths designed uniquely for you. Concentrate on keeping in step with me instead on trying to anticipate my plans for you. If you trust that my plans are to prosper you and not harm you, you can relax and enjoy the present moment. Your hope and your future are rooted in heaven, where eternal ecstasy awaits you. Nothing can rob you of your inheritance and unimaginable riches and well-being. Sometimes I grant you a glimpse of your glorious future to encourage you and spur you on, but your main focus should be staying close to me. I set the pace in keeping with your needs and my purpose." Life's kind of like the big puzzle, isn't it? We try to put the edges together. We try to figure it all out. And sometimes it's a challenge, but God's got a plan. It's a good plan. A second thing is, our God remains the same with His purpose. God's plan depends on seeing and experiencing God's purpose. A verse of scripture that came to my mind during this time in my life was from Isaiah 42:3. "A bruised reed He will not break, a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. He will bring forth justice in His time." Another translation of that reads, "He will not crush those who are weak or quench the smallest hope. He will bring full justice to all who have been wronged." You know something? There are people walking through the doors of this church. I was one of them. Bruised, beat up. Not just bumped. I mean beat up. And you know what? God knows how to work things out where He doesn't break us, but He makes us. He heals us. Jesus was beaten and bruised, and we know that He reigned supreme. I'm so thankful that God has a plan, but God also has a purpose. And Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans of man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." When I was a kid, I loved to ride bikes, like some of you out there. When you were kids, you just loved to ride bikes. I turned it upside down during the summer. Summers get kind of long for kids, and I would spin the wheels on that bike, and sometimes I'd put, you know, a baseball card, and I would snap it on with a clothespin, and then we'd decorate the wheels, and we did all kinds of things with our bikes, like some of you out there. Admit it, that's what we did. All right. Had a lot of fun. But you know, there's something interesting about the creation, the development of a wheel. It has a hub, has an axle. And you know, God has just used that illustration to remind me and you this morning that in the middle of all of our lives, there is God's purpose. And we decorate our lives. We put a lot of things in our lives that are important and necessary. But it's God's purpose that keeps the wheel turning, moving, and in place. I'm reminded of what Jesus was all about. He came to save and seek those who are lost. I'm reminded as you look at a passage of scripture from John 15, where Jesus, He didn't get His guys together, His disciples together, and say, "Let's have a meeting, and I'm going to talk to you about five things that you really need to be doing to make this thing work and my message be communicated." You know what Jesus did? It says He took off His robe, and He put on a towel, and He served, and He washed the feet of His disciples. I've come to this conclusion in God's purpose. Jesus is more concerned about, is not concerned about titles, but He's more concerned about towels. Where can we serve? Where can we make a difference? God began to work in my heart, my life, saying, you just don't go to church. No, you're to be the church. And Jesus said to his disciples, I give you this example to follow. He said to them, I know these things. Now do them. Pass on the blessing. And you know, there's a lot of healing that takes place when we serve and get into God's purpose. So whatever you're going through, whatever happens in our life, God's purpose still remains. A third thing is this, our God remains the same with his presence. You know, we have to depend on God's presence as we continue with God's purpose and plan in our life. I want to reiterate one thing about the presence of God that I've already mentioned. I sense God's presence as we come to worship here every Sunday morning. I don't know if you feel that way. I think that you do. But can we go forward without God's presence in our life? I know I've gone through some other difficulties. You have as well. I've lost two dads to death, one at 36 years of age, another father, stepfather at 58. My wife went through some difficulties in pregnancies, had four miscarriages. I sensed the presence of God in all of that. It was tough. But also I've sensed the presence of God when I'm with other people and some good things are happening, like when you're going on vacation, can't wait for vacation sometimes, the birth of a child. I felt the presence of God when I got a hole in one. I'm just lying, okay? I got a birdie, okay. I sensed the presence of God when I went to the Holy Land. What about the presence of God? I'm going to share with you, just as we move closer to a conclusion, is that the children of Israel experienced the presence of God time and time in their life. They were led by a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. God's presence was real in their life. But as we look at Exodus 32, it says this, they rebelled against God. They did their own thing. And while Moses was up at the mountain getting the Ten Commandments from God, he was probably gone about a month. These people became antsy. They became discontent. And so they said to Aaron, we need a God to worship. And so he says, give me your jewelry, your ornaments, and all of that. And that's what he did, and he fashioned a calf. Can you imagine? A calf. And they worship Jehovah, a calf, a golden calf. And as time goes on, we know, as you read that scripture, something was stirring down there at the foot of the mountain, and it all ends up, some people get ticked off, Moses and God. And Moses come down, and he breaks the commandments, as you well know. And we understand that in this story, we find that God is reprimanding them, dealing with them, really still out of a heart of love. And he informs them what they need to do. And Aaron kind of takes a back step on all of this, and he just says, you know, they gave me the jewelry, he was telling Moses this, and I just threw it into the fire. Pops, out pops a calf. Come on, give me a break. You know, I cannot believe what happened, but can that happen in all of our lives in some fashion? We get away from the presence of God. We start doing our own thing. We think we can handle it on our own. Moses, in chapter 33, says these words, and I'll just be as brief as I can and put it in these terms. If I am going to move these people forward, I cannot do it without the presence of God. And I came to that place in my life. I cannot deal with the issues and the turmoil and the challenges without your presence. And I think some of us here this morning have found that as well. Psalm 16:11 says, you have made me to know the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. In Psalms 140:13, it says, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright will dwell in your presence. And I found this, that thankfulness, recognition of God leads to his presence. I want to give you these three things this morning here. God's presence provides comfort in times of despair. God's presence provides satisfaction even when everything seems to be going against you. God's presence provides strength to move forward. In 1 Corinthians 1, 25, 31, just reading a few of those verses, I want to share this with you. This foolish plan of God is far wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is far stronger than the greatest of human strength, so that no one can ever boast in the presence of God. The person who wishes to boast should only boast in what God has done. That's what I want to do this morning. I want to boast only in what God has done. I'm only here today. I'm only here in this church because of God and what He's done. I didn't come up with this plan. I never knew about this plan. I still don't know this whole plan, but I'm only here because of what God has done. I think some of you are here in this church because of what God has done and what God's doing through this church and through this ministry. And I'm so thankful that God has us in mind, no matter if we're the fault at times or whatever's happened to us, He has us in mind. I celebrate God's plan, His purpose. I celebrate His presence. And if I could say one more thing, it'd be I want you to have that experience and that relationship with God through Jesus, His Son, knowing that He will lead you, guide you, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for a provision that has been made for all of us. It's beyond expressions that any person could even come up with at times. We do our best. But if we can just say one more time and try to clarify it one more time, You love us, You care about us, Your presence is with us. And no matter what we go through and no matter what we don't understand and what we can't figure out, You have a perspective, and may we connect with that. And this morning I pray for those who may be in a moment or a time or a long duration of struggle, that You'll help them to see God in the midst of it all. I pray this in the loving name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.